With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to NTK from the LFC Day Trippers. That means no transfer knowledge. The transfer show where we have no insider knowledge on any transfer anywhere in the world, but we talk about a lot of them anyway. We give our views. We get loads of views from the chat, and we take it from there for an hour or so. With me tonight, Kev, Matt and Ash, and they're going to go through a list of names that I've done a list. So there you go. Best boy. But if there's people on that list that or not on that list when I go through them, and you're in the chat and there's another name you wanted to talk about, absolutely throw it out towards the end and we will discuss them quickly. Kev, how are you? Muted. Kev's good muted. Start. Hold on. Oh, Kev, you've broken yourself. I'll leave Kev for a second. Matt, how are you?
I'm good. Good. Just finished a long day of travel getting back from the Canadian Grand Prix last night at about 3 in the morning, so took the day off work and ready to do this.
Okay. Canadian Grand Prix, how was it?
It was good. It was rainy as all hell for qualifying, but it was a gorgeous day for the race on Saturday, and Leclerc put on a pretty good show coming from the back of the pack to finish in fifth. So got to see some buddies I haven't seen in a while, and took in the best of the Montreal nightlife.
Good stuff. Ash, how are you?
Oh, good, thanks, mate. Yeah, busy on at work. It just seems like every day seems to be the same old stuff, but well, getting 1 week closer to the football season,
more 72 days until the transfer window ends, according to Kev.
Yeah, 72 days by the man himself. Yeah, can't wait. Yeah, I'm all good there, mate. Thanks for asking.
Good stuff, Kev. This time, how are you?
I'm good, mate. Yeah, not too bad. Busy day today by the look of things. A lot of business being done now this week. It looks like clubs want to get their arse in gear and have players in and out.
They're going for it early, aren't pre-season.
They? I think they just want to get it done and done. They know it's a short pre-season as it is. So if you're going to get any business done, this is the week. You know, you want to get moves over the line, players moved into houses and ready for a pre-season tours to start. It's not long now. You know, our first game is not, what, Singapore?
12th of July.
Mm-hmm. It's not far away. You know, it's only a few more weeks.
3 weeks.
So, yeah.
Yeah, that was so about next weekend now, on the first.
You want to see these deals start to get over the line now.
Good stuff. Arch says a lot of players leaving now. Nico's next, hoping there will be a midfielder signing. We'll talk about midfielders again towards the end of the show. I even tried to bring it into the last night's show to give my shout on it. I'll do it again later, and all the lads can do the same. Let's start, though, with, as Bonkers has put in here, and others. in fairness. £15 million, £15.5 million deal. Liverpool have agreed with Monaco for the transfer of Taki Minamino. Matt, I'll come to you first. A lot of people upset because it's 11 payments over fucking 3 years or something, whatever it is. But look, at the end of the day, Minamino leaves Liverpool. Liverpool doubled their money on him. They paid 7.75 million for him. Going back 2.5 years now, I think it is. But Matt, surprised to see him go? Sad to see him go? Or do you think, look, he needs to move to play football? Because I think that's the case for a few players in this Liverpool squad.
I mean, I think the answer is probably yes to all of your questions. You know, it was good that Taki had the season that he had this year in the Cups, being the top scorer in both the domestic cup competitions, that at least now that his Liverpool career is over, there's something for us to look back on and fondly remember. We don't just have to remember that shy guy in the league celebrations that, you know, had to get dragged into the party by the rest of the team because he didn't feel like he belonged. I think it's good business. I wonder if there was some sort of gentleman's agreement that Klopp had with him maybe last summer, because there was rumors about him maybe moving on last summer. I wonder if he said, you know, just give us one more year and afterwards I won't stand in your way. And a good bid came in that met our valuation. So best of luck to him.
Ash, a few people in the chat are mentioning the fact that Origi is now left. Mane is, I don't know if it's confirmed to Bayern, but it will be. And now Minamino. And you look at Nunes coming in, you could probably throw Carvalho in there as well. It looks like 3 out, 2 in. Are you concerned at all about the numbers that we have in attacking positions?
Not really. I'm a firm believer that I reckon we're going to switch it up next season. I reckon we're going to play a 4-2-3-1 with Nunes up front on his own and then with the three behind. And I think with the amount of players we've got there at the moment in regards to Salah, Diaz, Jota, Bobby, Carvalho now, Harvey Elliott, I reckon we'll see a little bit more of him in that free attack behind Nunes. I'm pretty sure I miss someone out. Curtis Jones as well. Obviously, there's a few leaps with him going to Nottingham Forest, but I think Klopp will keep him and keep his progression at the club. I can understand the logic of people getting worried because, like I said, if three's going and no one's coming in, then we're looking shorter numbers. But I think a change of system, and I think we've got enough players to cover that kind of system that we're going to be potentially looking at next year. So I'm not particularly worried. But then who knows? This is Liverpool. We could pull something out of the bag on the last day, and all of a sudden, every Liverpool fan's happy again, isn't they?
Yeah. Kev, you know, as things stand, you're looking at Salah, Firmino, Diaz, Nunes, Carvalho. That's probably their front five options at the moment.
And Jota.
Jota as well, sorry. Is that five, six? Is that six?
Six.
That's it's six. Six. It is six, yeah. Isn't it? Diaz, yeah. Nunes, Jota, Firmino, Salah, Carvalho. Yeah, okay. Yep. So obviously seven there last season. But Kev, when you look at that, is that enough numbers to just get you through the season? You know, and the reason I'm asking this is because I'm kind of in a roundabout way asking you, do you think they could do something in the forward positions before the end of the summer?
Yeah, I think we're one light. I think it would be, you saw the difference it made having Diaz come in as an extra forward last in the January window. We were all saying, you know, for years, Klopp doesn't like doing business in January. He likes to get his squad in early and work with that side for the season. Mm. Maybe the fact that, you know, he did the Diaz deal, it worked out really well for us. And it gave him that extra option for the second half of the season. It's something that we might look at again. We don't have to front load everything. You're literally going to have two seasons in one next year. Because of the way the World Cup falls, you've got a big 26-game push up until November. Then you've got 4 weeks. Then the January window opens. So you never know. I'd like to see another forward come in, a wide forward if possible, someone to push Mane in eventually, or Salah, and eventually replace him if he doesn't decide to sign his new deal, which I don't think he will.
Kev.
Doesn't have to be.
Well,
we've proved this before.
Tell me who you'd like on. Remember the word you said to push Salah and eventually replace him.
You're going to be looking at the likes of Diaby, and Cuckoo would be one I'd like, but that's just not going to be. That's not realistic. I think he's PSG bound.
What track is Saka?
Bowen.
I don't like him at all.
Who?
Saka.
Off Arsenal.
Yeah, I don't like.
Are
him
you mental?
At all. No, I think he's going to City anyway. We'll talk about it later, but the way Arsenal's business is geared up and looking at what City are doing, you just join up the dots, and they wouldn't be trying to sign Rafinha if they didn't have a deal for Saka already in place. And City wouldn't be letting Sterling go if that option wasn't there either. So I just think that's a done deal. I mean,
do you not call it a sorry?
Yeah, sorry, Ash. Go ahead.
No, it's just a quick one. Do you not think we might see more Kate Gordon next season then? Potentially in the earlier rounds.
Next season for the season after. Yeah, next season for the season after. He's still only a baby, really.
Yeah, you know, I just thought because he's played in a few.
When he come through, wasn't he?
Yeah, I just think because he's introduced a few games last season, wasn't he? The FA Cup and in the League Cup semi against Arsenal. And you're thinking, if he's being chucked in that early, maybe a case of with Taki going and Divock going, are we going to see him again? Draw dependent, obviously, in the cups.
Yeah.
Maybe we might see him playing more on the right next season.
I think domestically, yeah, you could be looking at someone like him to play in the domestic cups.
Yeah,
but I'd say I think you're allowed 9 subs on the bench next year. Mm-hmm. So maybe if he's in and around the first team squad, depending on how he trains, it's an option. But the other one is Cannonier. You know, bang goals for fun at centre forward last season in the 23s. It's a big jump, obviously, but you know, that's why I said I still like another forward, be it a striker, a second striker, or a wide forward. And I said about Diaby being an interesting one. There's Anthony, unfortunately, is going to United. Bowen would be interesting, depending on what his contract situation is like at West Ham. If he doesn't extend, then that could be a possibility because I see him being very versatile. You know, he's very strong. He's physical. He can attack space well. He's a good age. I just don't. When you talk about Saka, he shows it in glimpses and spurts. And I know he's young, but I still don't see him as a winger. I see him more of a centre mid or a wing back. I don't know what it is about him. I can't put my finger on it. I just don't. It's not that I don't rate him. I think he's good.
I think he's a fantastic player. When the talk of force of Salah not maybe being sold or coming, he was one of the first names that popped into my head. Because I thought Liverpool might look at him if Arsenal didn't make the Champions League. That was the first thing. The second thing is his age. And the experience he has, let's be honest, I think is he 2 seasons in with Arsenal now?
Yeah, he's about 70 appearances, maybe more.
And the scope to improve him, I think, is huge. And you have to remember, as an 18, 19 year old, wherever he is, he literally had the pressure of Arsenal on his back for a lot of the season. If you think about it, like they were literally pinning an awful lot on him. You know, they dropped Lacazette. So Saka becomes more important. Martinelli falls off form. Saka becomes more important. Eddie and Nketiah scores the odd goal here and there, but Saka becomes more and more important. And as it goes on and on and on, he's literally like he's on penalty duties and everything. Like he's, you know, he's the one they look to. And honestly, Kev,
he's got 2 years left on his deal, isn't he?
So. Yeah, I agree with you. I think he does go to Man City. I think you might see Sterling end up in London somewhere. And Rafinha comes into Arsenal and that kind of merry or that triangle of transfers kind of look after each other. But for me, I don't think it would happen, but I wouldn't be against Saka being at Liverpool. I just think the scope you have for him to improve, I think left foot is playing on the right hand side, pace to burn. He's a decent finisher. He likes taking a penalty. I think there's so much there. Like Jerry Carl says, Klopp loves Martinelli. I like him as well. But
I think he's the other side, isn't he?
He's the other side, yeah. He plays off the left. But I don't know. When it comes to the forward thing, like someone says there, Naman says, Taki and Divock had one Premier League star between them last season. And we had got a lot of numbers last season for the competitions we were in. But I don't know how much of a difference 7 to 6 makes. Like, I could see the difference between 6 and 5. You know, because five is like one injury and you're kind of leaning on people a bit much, where 6, for me, feels fairly comfortable. But again, we don't know what he's going to do with Carvalho. We have to wait and actually see him play for Liverpool to see where they want him.
I see one report early on when he was linked, when, you know, before, that he was, Klopp was going to use him as a forward, build him into the squad, but eventually he would evolve into, when he hits his mid-20s, he'd be a centre mid. He'd be an attacking midfielder. But to start with, he might be a wing option or a second striker or that kind of way. Just feel his way into Liverpool, into the Premier League. You know, it's a massive jump. There's a huge difference between the Championship and the top four in the Premier League. It's monstrous. You know, and he's had one good season at a flying Fulham where sides were, it was like Moses in the Red Sea for a lot of those sides. They just opened up for him. He's one of those, the same as Ramsey. There's no pressure on, you don't have to hit the ground running straight away, but eventually you're going to hit the ground. You know, but it doesn't have to be instant. Whereas Nunes, on the other hand, that's a different kettle of fish.
Yeah, I think he's going
to
be great.
He has to work.
Yeah, but Kev, I've seen his pictures.
Yeah.
Right. He's a full kit. And the shorts met the fucking socks. You know what happens. People who do that score loads of goals. Right? So I won't have a bad word said about him. Let's bash through a couple of names here, right? We've spoken about Minamino. Vieira has been confirmed to Arsenal on a long term deal. Just a quick one. Good move, yes or no, Matt?
I think it's a good move, but I mean, that's kind of overloading Arsenal in a position. They got a pretty good number of players. Smith Rowe's there, Odegaard's there in that kind of attacking midfield role. So it's like they're doing that Everton stock up on number 10s thing.
Yeah, it's a bit of a weird one. Yeah, I find the Arsenal stuff a bit weird. Ash, good move, yes or no?
I can't comment. I don't know much about him, to be fair. The only thing I know is that he's similar to what Matt was saying, similar to the early cards and stuff like that. And you're thinking, why are they bringing in another player in the same kind of...
I think they drop Odegaard back deeper in midfield. I think they could end up playing Odegaard next to Partey. He's becoming more and more of a sitting kind of playmaker-y quarterback the more I see him.
Potentially, like I said, I don't know much about him. I don't know what style he has. Is he a box to box? Is he like an old school, like Patrick Vieira? Is he or what kind of?
He's quite creative.
He's very similar to young Bruno Fernandes, but £34 million is all the money for him. You know, he's not worth. I don't think he's worth that. I think if they halved it and added bonuses, then yeah. I only watched him for Portugal in the under-23 in the last European Championships, and he was a Portuguese captain in that for the I think it was the under-21s.
Right,
and he looked good at that level, but he didn't stand out when I watched him in Europe. He's raw, but this is a typical Arsenal signing. He ain't what they need.
That's what confused me as well.
Yeah, Arsenal are buying.
Well, there's a couple more that they're linked with. But I want to we get back to Arsenal in a bit, because I want to throw a couple of names at you with regards to United, all right? Ash will come to you first. So you've got Anthony linked with Manchester United, okay?
Yeah.
Strong rumours that that'll be done around 40 million, I think was the number, right? You've got Eriksen, who has, by the looks of it, torn down a move to Manchester United and would stay at Brentford or go to Spurs. You have De Jong, reports coming out that United are short of the valuation. Which is a bit weird. They've known the valuation for fucking 6 months. And Lisandro Martinez, the defender, who Arsenal and United have been linked with. But you look at it and you're saying to yourself, it's a lot of familiarity, isn't it? Again, these names being linked with them, it's a lot of familiarity with what Ten Hag has done in the past. And I understand what he's doing. I think he's trying to strengthen, but be careful while he's doing it. But Anthony, De Jong, Martinez, improves United, no doubt.
Oh yeah, without a doubt. Yeah, sorry. I thought it was morning. No, like
say more if you want.
No, we were like we said, we were covering it a bit last week, weren't we? And I backed up the claim saying that it just seems all too safe, all too familiar for Ten Hag, and you can understand why he was going for the players he's going. And like I said, I saw the Ericsson reject, and I said last week it makes sense. I think he suits more going back to Brentford, being the big fish in a small pond potentially. I also saw that Dean Henson's going to potentially Nottingham Forest. That's another outgoing.
No option to buy.
Right, so potentially another position you've got to fill with number two goalkeeper, because who's there other than De Gea? Is it Romero still there? Was he gone now? Or?
No, I think Romero's gone. Grant was released, so they probably will look to probably try bringing someone in or, promote somebody from the 23s.
So, yeah, then you've got, obviously, Anthony looks like it's a done deal. Right winger, I believe, is that correct? Yeah, so... Again, that's a Sancho position, though, isn't it? So you think 90 million last year on Sancho, 40 million on Anthony this year. You think, right, does that mean that Sancho's going to go to the left, which means is Rashford going to get a game or not? And that just throws their whole attack up in the air. I saw today that Barcelona, because they're getting a £600 million investment, I believe, that they are now turning around and saying that they're not interested in selling him. No more, because they don't need to.
And the talk is he's not interested in going. And Jackie wants as well, to stay.
Yeah, and that as well. Because they didn't want nothing less than £86 million, I believe. And Man United is like, well, we're not paying that. Or Euro, was it? Sorry, Ken.
Euro, yeah.
I saw £86 million, sorry. Again, the Man United are way off, like 20, £25 million in difference in the price. And obviously, is it Timber as well? Turn around and... been advised not to go to Man United as well, because Louis van Gaal turned around and said, well, if you go to Man United, you're not going and play for me at the World Cup. So it just seems like all their original targets...
He hates United, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does. He
fucking despises them, doesn't he?
It just seems like every one of their first original links are turning them down left, right, and centre. So now it's plan B. And what is plan B for Man United now? That's the question.
It's interesting because, like... and. You kind of have to take it in the context of it's the 24th of June, I think, today. And, you know, there's a lot of names going around. Like, I was amazed when I read up on some of the stuff today. Like, I literally have 14, 15 names in front of me linked to all sorts of stuff. And, you know, part of it could be with United that fans just want to see something done quickly, because it will cement that opinion that he's in, he knows what he's doing, you know, and he knows what he wants, and he's doing it early. Whereas, and that would make sense for fans, you know, to think that we're a new manager, but maybe they do need to sit back and go, hold on. And I'm not saying lose out on transfers, but just sitting back and go, we're not doing anything. But maybe he does need to come in and have a think about it, and maybe they are on a budget, and maybe they're trying to do this and trying to do that, because I think there is a bit of a... there's a bit of safeness with what the players Ten Hag wants, but I think there's a bit of safety from the United side as well, where we're not going to spend 250 million quid here, you know. And I'm not saying that they're not confident in Ten Hag and what he can do, but at the same time, they've been burnt. They've been burnt by managers that have come in, and, you know, everyone in the world has promised them that this is the man, and they've promised themselves, and then it doesn't happen. So maybe... you know, as much as United fans want to see things happen, bang, 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 you'd hope as a United fan maybe that they're just looking at things and looking at options and seeing a way certain situations work out. Because we've spoken about, like, Sterling maybe going, and then you see him going to, say, Chelsea, and you see Saka going to City, and then you see maybe Rafinha going to Arsenal. Maybe that's happening somewhere else. You know, there's two or three transfers affecting each other, and United are waiting to see if one goes that they can move in on something and make something happen. But at the same time, I think he needs something on the table as quick as he can, just to stop what I already see as a little bit of panic setting in. Why aren't we spending? Yeah. Where it is, like, and it's the usual stuff, you know. Oh, Liverpool have spent this, and City have spent that, and Spurs have spent that, and why haven't we done anything? You know, and I know that from being a Liverpool fan for years, where you go, well, relax, You know, we will make a signing. It's all right. But with the United thing, I just think he does need something on the table. But I think just a little bit of careful is holding, I think, the club and him back at the moment, because it's very big decisions to make. Very. Because as I said the other week, with that squad you have, mix it with one or two of those signings and they don't hit the ground running. Like Kev's pointed out with us with Carvalho and Calvin Ramsey and stuff like that. With that squad, and if they don't hit the ground running, they're in all sorts of trouble. Like, all sorts of trouble. Because all of a sudden they'll be like, oh, you brought him in and he signed this and he signed that and they're shy. And look who we have, and that fucking Harry Maguire still running around the place, you know, like fucking the dog with two Mickeys. So you don't really know what's going on, you know, the sort of way. So it'll be, as I said, I don't like them in any way. I hope they make an absolute mess of this transfer window, but it's still, I think, a really intriguing to watch what goes on in United. And he probably needs something in, he probably needs a signing before he plays us in on the 12th of July. That's all I'm going to say.
There was another thing I saw today from Goldbridge. I don't know, again, if it's true or not, but he turned around and said that on Friday, the Glazers are taking £11 million out of their
Correct.
Out of the club. Which is basically caused more outrage from the fans. And I reckon before you know it, within the next 3-4 weeks, if there's no signings, that's it. There'll be protests on the first game of the season, and there'll be bashing down Old Trafford, and there'll be games postponed, and there'll be an absolute outrage. I just love it. It's just like, bring it on. I've had nothing but crap all my life from Man United fans. And now it's the other way around. I drink the tears. It's beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful.
Gary Neville, of course, has come out and made a statement to say that the Glazers should not take their £11 million dividends. Well, that's what shareholders do. They take dividends. Yeah. You know, they're not the only ones. There's loads of United shareholders out there taking dividends on Friday. It's just they own a lot of the shares. You know, and I've said it so many times before, I understand United fans' frustrations at the Glazers.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
But at the end of the day, they invest a lot of money in Manchester United. And it's down to the players and the managers to go and do what they're meant to do, and they haven't, you know. And £11 million quid out of dividends, right, which is dividends. It's actually nothing to fucking do with the football club when you think about it. It's to do with the performance of the football club, but it doesn't. Like, if they don't take that dividend out of Manchester United, I don't think they use it. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's a share price. Do you know what I mean? It's just up in the sky, fucking numbers on a board. But Gary Neville's off and running. They might find their Norwich flags and scars before February, like I predicted. They could do, but look, we'd have to wait and see on United, but I still think they need something. Rafinha, Arsenal, sources in Brazil are saying that it could be close. Do you agree with Kev that this looks like a little triangle of transfers that could happen, and one would kick off the next and kick off the next, and the three will be done quite quick?
I can see Rafinha going to Arsenal, but I don't know if it'll be the domino effect like Kev was saying. Like, it's the first time I've heard somebody talk about like Saka going this year as opposed to next year. Mm-hmm. Like, I just think Arsenal lost Aubameyang and Lacazette, and all they did was re-sign Eddie Nketiah and put a heap of pressure on him from the number and from the contract. Like, they need forward reinforcements without letting anybody go. So I could see Arsenal still going for Rafinha without needing to sell Saka. But I mean, if that does happen, that's terrible, because City ends up with the best player.
Is Arsenal? Oh, dog gone mental. Who owns the dog? Oh, Matt owns the dog. We've had that before. Conroy used to have yeah, a mad cat. Conroy, didn't he?
Had it, yeah.
Was it a cat or a dog? It was a cat.
Cat, yeah.
But I should have actually gone on to Conroy. I haven't spoken to him in ages. Ash, I'll come to you because, you know, Kev said, people in the chat said earlier, like, is any move to Arsenal. Oh, he's being given out to the dog. like Rafinha is linked with Liverpool, Ash, right? He's linked with Barcelona. He's linked heavily with Bayern Munich in January. All Champions League teams. It must take a hell of a lot for Rafinha to believe in what Arsenal are trying to do if he's going to go in there when he looks and sees how strong Liverpool are, Man City are. Chelsea still are, and I still think they'll turn their summer around once they iron out the last of the issues with the takeover, I suppose, and where they want to go. Spurs and Manchester United obviously looking to strengthen as well. I just don't know how Arsenal is an attraction to Rafinha when you see who he's being linked with and where he could end up.
Yeah, I agree with that, Gav. Unless money talks, potentially. But like I said, with the teams that he was previously linked with, ourselves, Bayern, Barca, as you said, Champions League football, and as a Brazilian young attacker that he is, you'd think that's what he wants to do. And I think he's clarified it in the past that he wants to play in Champions League football. It wouldn't surprise me if he stays as another year at Leeds. And then look at
what the Salah situation.
Exactly. See what happens next season. See what happens with Salah. Again, it wouldn't surprise you if Man City go for him next summer. If rumours are true and they're trying to get rid of Mahrez and they're not successful with Saka, then they could potentially look at Rafinha as an alternative version to go down the right to replace Mahrez. Barcelona, there's no point even putting them in the sentence. Like I said, they can't even register their own fucking name of the stadium, let alone sign a player. Bayern Munich, they're linked with Dembele. So again, I can't see if they're going down that route. Are they going to go for Rafinha as well, which plays on the same side? I reckon if he's going to go to Arsenal, I think that could potentially be money, personally. But then who knows what goes on behind closed doors, unless Arteta sold him the dream and said, you know, we're going to make you the focal point up front as well as, you know, with Martinelli and Saka and whatever that looks like.
But this has the potential to be as head-wrecking as Leeds, because Leeds will make you run around like lunatics and ship goals. And Arsenal win two in a row, lose two in a row, draw, lose, win. Like, it's just all over the place. Like, Dean Regan said he's desperate to go to Barca, but he can't afford it. Kev, if that's true and he's desperate to go to Barca, but he can't afford it, I wouldn't be going near Rafinha.
No.
Because and it's this, you know, South American guy wants to play for Real or Barca. We've seen it so many times before. Yeah. If that is actually true, I actually wouldn't go near him, even as a Liverpool supporter.
No, I wouldn't either. I was watching Joe's...
Oh, you don't like him? I forgot you don't like him anyway.
I don't like him anyway, but yeah. I was watching Joe's stream the other day, and they're convinced that they want 60 million plus for him.
Yeah.
And Arsenal apparently have bid 45, so they're miles apart. And they were also talking about Calvin Phillips being strongly linked to Man City.
And PSG, I've seen the last couple of days.
Yeah, and PSG. Yeah. But PSG, until Galtier gets in the door there, you know, they're just paper talk at the minute.
Who's taking over?
Galtier apparently is, it's more or less done. The PSG owner come out and said that he hasn't talked to Zidane. He hasn't directly or indirectly talked to Zidane. Galtier is the one they want, and that's the direction they want to go. And apparently any player who doesn't fit the project can go. So you can take a look at the PSG and say, okay, look at the age range of some of these players and the wages they're on. They're going to want to cut a lot of players out of that, a lot of meat out of that. Plus, they got to still, even on paper, fund this Mbappe deal somehow. So that's going to be one to watch through the summer to see who ends up leaving there. Where does Sergio Ramos go, for instance? Rafinha at 60 million is just a no-go to anyone. I don't see anyone in their right mind paying 60 million quid for someone like him. 45 million for another right winger when they want to sign Gabriel Jesus, who Keith put a link up to Phil Tim Vickery today, and it was absolutely brilliant that apparently the Brazilian manager came out and said to Gabriel, "What are you?" you know, and you're not a striker, you know, so you want to drip play out wide, pick a side. And apparently he said, yeah, I want to drift out and play on the right. So that's, yeah. Now you're talking, they're looking at three right wingers.
Yeah.
You know, at Arsenal. And this is all Edu fantasy signings for me. You know, they're playing football manager at the club at the minute, because this is typical, as I said, this is typical Arsenal. The spine of the side is just deserted again.
Jack Carl says you could make a great team out of players that Kev doesn't like. That's a fucking great show.
You probably could. But I do
Kev
like,
likes nobody. He fucking hates them all.
I do like Anthony, and that's the real pisser. The 40 million.
Someone
for
in
Anthony,
the chat said earlier, though, that Anthony's had a load of run-ins with Ten Hag.
I wouldn't be surprised, but Ten Hag played him a lot. Yeah. And you look at the type of players that Ten Hag is looking to sign, it's pace, 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 and pace.
Mm.
You know, Timber is another one. He is seriously quick. The thing with Van Gaal said he won't select him unless he plays all the time. And if you go to Man United, are you going to play ahead of Varane? Maybe, maybe not. So that's the gamble he's going to have to look at. And if he's going to back himself to go to United and start and become a regular starter, bear in mind they want to get rid of Wan-Bissaka, so they might be looking at playing a back three. You know, but Rafinha, you just, Barcelona don't need him. Bayern don't want him. Leeds need, I don't think he fits Leeds to what
your did man, he ever Mark, sign that deal?
No,
that's the key, isn't it?
He's never done it.
So he's probably 2 years left on the deal then.
I think a lot of the clubs that were sniffing around him on the provision that Leeds went down. You know what I mean?
Sorry, Kev. But Andy Cheese says, Kev gets up in the morning, looks in the mirror and calls himself a wanker.
It's only for Andy Cheese when he stood behind me. That's yeah. all that. I think Leeds could do with selling him. And I don't think they'll miss him as much as what Leeds fans think.
But it's another big hole to fill. No, like, but he scores 11. Like someone says there, he scores 11 goals from last season. Yeah, and Leeds were appalling.
They might have been appalling, but they were always going to get goals. And he was the one outlet that they always had. So they fed him all the time. You know,
The only thing I would say is when we bashed him at Anfield, you could see the resignation in him and he gave up. And I didn't like that. No. I kind of look and went, don't ever give up.
He did it a few times.
Because if he was at Liverpool and that 2-1 down and he has to come back and defend the corner and he's throwing shapes like he was throwing at Anfield that night, I'd be like, no way. Not for me.
Yeah.
You know, Liverpool players do not stop till the whistle goes. They do not stop. And it was just something in there that didn't sit right with me. But I think he's a really good player. Yeah.
But I think Calvin Phillips is a bigger hole to fill for Leeds.
Well, yeah. Is he? Because he's never fit.
Yeah, I think
he has more of an impact.
The last injury that he had was for England was just a muscle injury. It wasn't a long term, it was just a knock.
Can someone in the chat tell me how many Premier League games Calvin Phillips played?
Last year. Right, yeah, so. He didn't play many last year. So. Last season, he had that one bad injury.
Right.
So that's the gamble that you're going to be taking.
Yeah, you know that losing Calvin Phillips is a huge hole to fill for Leeds. Just look at their league position the year they had him and look at the league position in the year that they didn't have him. You know, Leeds with Calvin Phillips there, that first year they came up, they were exciting, and he was that anchor of that midfield. Also Bamford up top. So, you know, it's if Bamford can actually stay healthy and help carry the load a little bit, they might not miss Rafinha all that bad. And I'm pretty sure towards the end of the year when Leeds were having those exciting games, I'm pretty sure I remember Joe having it out at Rafinha a couple of times for his attitude where,
yeah.
You know, they got down and it just seemed like he didn't want to be there anymore. Like he feels like he's a bit too big for his britches, maybe, that he's, you know, he's this exciting Brazilian and he shouldn't be in Leeds.
Do any of you literally, when it comes to any of these players moving, fall into the trap? And I do it all the time where I go, would he be good enough to replace Salah? And I answer no in my head. And when I answer no in my head, I don't really give a shit about the player or where he goes. Because I keep doing that. You know,
it's unfortunate though. Look, Salah, when we signed him, we never thought he was going to be this good. We correct. Thought he was an assist
yeah.
machine.
Yeah.
You know, that's what the partnership that him and Dzeko had at Roma, he was getting his goals, but he was a pure assist machine. You know, he just set Dzeko up to probably one of his best seasons of his career. And that's what we thought we were getting. And then he turned up and played that one game. We were like, Jesus Christ, if he starts scoring the shots that he's missing, we're going to have some real fun in games with this kid. Mm. And as it turned out, he's been an absolute superstar. Yeah. But it's not an uncommon position in world football at the minute that there is actually a lot of wide forwards out there as compared to what you'd say there is proper number nines. You look at the amount of true out-and-out number nines that are in world football, do you think, yeah, you're really, really up there. There ain't that many anymore. I mean, Seb Haller is moving to Borussia Dortmund. Something like 33 million.
What? The fella that was at West Ham?
The fella that was at West Ham,
went to Ajax.
He went to Ajax.
Wow. Is that their...
That's their Haaland.
Did he not sign your man?
Malin.
No, not Malin.
They sent him last year.
No, the guy from Salzburg. Oh, did he not sign him days after?
Antiemi. Yeah, I think they signed him as well.
Okay, yeah. So they're really going for it. Okay. I thought it was losing my mind there.
Ajax are having a massive fire sale at the minute. There's a fair few that are looking at the exit door.
Yeah, but the thing is, Ajax are lethal at bringing through players, so they'd be absolutely fine. Kev, I'll stick with you. Newcastle, linked with Pope from Burnley. And when I say linked, he could be signed by now. I read it earlier. £8 to £10 million. I think that's a great deal for Newcastle. I think Dubravka had a really good start at Newcastle, but I think he's ropey as fuck now. But Pope, I really highly rate Pope, I have to say. I'd probably say he's the best English goalkeeper at the minute. And the fact that they're getting him at that sort of price, because if Burnley stay up and someone wants Nick Pope, you're looking, I think, 20 million plus. To get him between 8 and 10, I think is really good value. And then you have, I want to say Ekitike, and I hope I've said that right because I'm terrible at saying names, but he's been linked with Newcastle, 30 million, I think was the price. And I thought that was going to be done and dusted, but Paris Saint-Germain, Bayern and Real have shown interest in him. And I've also seen loads of stuff around Twitter around Botman, who just wants to play for AC Milan, despite the fact that Newcastle are trying to give him all the money in the world. I know it's early doors, but A, what do you make of Pope? B, Ekitike, is he what Newcastle needs? And are they finding it a little bit difficult in the market?
I think Newcastle are in that boat that Man City are in, that we know you've got loads of money and we know you want to get to the top echelons of the Premier League. So if you come to my club wanting X player, you're going to pay top whack for it until they start saying no, like United did first time around with Sancho. And that's going to be how it's going to be difficult for them to appease the fans, because the fans have been sold the dream, I think. Pope is a brilliant keeper. He's a really good shot stopper. He's not the best with his feet, but as a goalkeeper, shot stopper, really, really good. I mean, I saw a figure earlier on online of 40 million. I thought, whoa, hold your horses. But if you're 40? Telling me eight, yeah.
Okay. Was there any fucking lira?
Yeah, if you're telling me 8 to 10 million for a shot stopper as good as him, that's bargain. When you look at Basun, who gone to Southampton for 10 million.
You know, and the rest.
Yeah, that's for 10 million for Nick Pope is an absolute bargain.
But I will say, though, Basun is going to be an absolute monster of a goalkeeper.
If
Southampton could, and I'm not fucking being completely off the wall here, they could possibly treble that money on him if it goes right, because he has that much ability that he could go anywhere he wants.
Hasn't City got a first refusal on him?
I would say City do have first refusal, because I'd say they're looking going, let's look at this 2 years down the line, see how he progresses at Southampton. They might want to move Ederson on, and all of a sudden they have a ready-made Premier League proven goalkeeper to come in. He's really good with his feet. He's an excellent shot stopper. He's big. He has everything. Bazunu really does. But Newcastle boys, they are a bit quiet. But having said that, they're probably trying to be quiet and doing their deals, because if they go out and they start shouting from the rooftops, like you said, Kev, people are going to go and go, well, we rate our player at 20, but we're going to ask for 40. And it's going to get ridiculous. And I know that, but the thing is, Newcastle can spend wherever they like. But part of it is kind of like a PR exercise as well. You know, trying to be really cute in the transfer market, and that's a real shrewd sign of Newcastle, and they're trying to do it the right way and all, because that stuff happens. You know,
the thing is, they were in for Ekitike in January as well. They tried to get him then, and it didn't pan out. This kid, I don't know that much about him, apart from the fact that he's really, really highly rated in France all the way through the age groups. And he's, I think he's about 6'3". You know, he's tall, quick, modern day forward, you know. And I think it would do Newcastle, he'd do Newcastle good, because I think he might get lost at PSG and some of the other big clubs. I think he'd get lost in the mix. Whereas if he went to a Newcastle, he probably would play a lot more and he'd shine a lot more, because look, let's face it, Newcastle are going to be on telly a hell of a lot next season. And we saw it last season, as soon as the new owners took over, suddenly Newcastle's game started to appear a lot more on TV. And that's going to happen next season with a global audience as well. So a lot of people, there's going to be a lot of eyes on Newcastle to see what they do.
Broha, Chelsea, on loan at Southampton last season, linked with a £30 million move to West Ham, which he was impressive for Southampton, you know, in certain spells during the season. There was talk he might even go back to Chelsea and be given a go there. And then they're giving Lukaku away. Like, it's fucking insane. But you would have thought that would up his chances. But West Ham are trying to jump on something here, and they must really rate him if they're going in at £30 million after a season at Southampton. What do you make of this one? Because I actually think it's a good signing if West Ham pull her off. I think he could do really well there.
I mean, it was plain as day that West Ham needed reinforcements in January, and, you know, not getting some extra help from Mikel Antonio up front probably cost them, you know, a spot or two in the table at the end of the year. Broha, I mean, he went kind of hot and cold. He got kind of in the middle of the season, he seemed to be banging in goals. I know, because I threw him into my fantasy team and then he promptly stopped scoring.
So it's all your fault.
So yeah, I'll take the credit for that. $30 million is an awful lot, though. I mean, that's Chelsea doing what Chelsea's done, which is churn out those young players, buy them young, turn around and sell them for fantastic prices. It's the one thing they do really, really good. Whether West Ham will be taken for that, though, that's pretty tough to say. He's a young kid. He doesn't qualify as English, I don't think, does he?
He qualifies as homegrown because of
probably the amount of years he's been there. Yeah,
because he came through the right.
So that may help him a little bit with that, especially if Bowen might be tempted to, you know, head on out the door for West Ham to keep their quota at the right level, but. That's an awful lot of money for a young kid that's only got one half-decent season under his belt.
Yeah, like Red Steve says there, Chelsea would have to be desperate to make Broha their number nine. I don't think it was a case of being their number nine. I think it was a case of being involved in the squad this season. You know, a lot of people quite impressed from him at Southampton, and it was a case of, like, would he do a better job than Timo Werner? You know, would he help play up front and release what I think is Havertz's best position, is behind the front man. Something like that. I'm not saying you just pin all your hopes on Broha coming off the back of his loan spell at Southampton, but West Ham obviously see something there. £30 million is a lot of money, and they're probably looking, going, not uncertainty at Chelsea, but there's a bit of, what are the owners going to do? What are they going to commit to? There's a bit of, yeah, uncertainty probably is the right word. They will spend money, but the uncertainty over which players they want now and what level they want to go to and stuff like that might help.
Well, and Chelsea's got that change of scene behind the scenes. You know, Bruce Buck is leaving. Marina Granovskaya is also on her way out the door. So there's going to be a new group in charge. Yeah, there's going to be a new group in charge of the transfers there. And, I mean, Todd Boehly, the new owner, seems like he's taking Bruce Buck's old position. And, you know, he's a baseball owner that doesn't have any experience in, you know, football transfers, so he might be trying to trade players for draft picks and, you know, future considerations and stuff like that. It doesn't quite work like that, so I hope they can finally start getting their pants taken down a little bit, and Chelsea can, you know, get knocked down a peg or two.
Well, the way I look at it is, like, when all this stuff about Abramovich came out, like, we all went on about, like, will he stay or will he hold on to the club and stuff? But at the end of the day, they owed him $1.6 billion to be in the position they're in. And I can't see them American owners committing $1.6 billion over 10 years or 15 or 20 years. Maybe they would over 20 years, but I don't think they're going to overspend and commit $1.6 billion into a club to have Chelsea where they are right now. I know they're European champions.
Four.
No, but that's it. It's $4.25 billion or something. And, you know, I know they were European champions up until a couple of weeks ago. But at the end of the day, Chelsea had to run $1.6 billion, okay? Which is about $80 million a year over the course of Abramovich's tenure. $80 million a year into the club just to sit where they are. And I don't think that's going to happen. I think you're going to see where they'll rein it in a little bit. But the problem with Chelsea is that Christensen, Azpilicueta, possibly Alonso, Lukaku's going out the door. There's probably two or three more in there that are going, I've had enough of this, I'm out, you know, the sort of way. And they will have to build, but at the same time, they can't. I don't see them running at the level they've ran at over the last 10, 15, 20 years. I could be wrong. They could just spend mountains of money, but American owners don't really spend buckets of money. They look to leverage, and they look to be very shrewd in what they're doing. And I think that's where you might see Chelsea having to take a little bit of a hit over the next probably year, 18 months maybe. And then they find that level and then they know where they are. Because I suppose as experienced as they are in sports, the Premier League football is a whole different ballgame. And, you know, I might take them a little time to adjust. Rudiger, of course, Luke says, yeah, Rudiger as well. Of course, Rudiger was telling all sorts of lies the other day, wasn't he? Oh, Barca wanted me, but, you know, I'm at Real now, so I better just say when Real said they wanted me, that was it. That was the only club for me. Give it over. You know, madness. But let me move on. Ash, I'll come to you. Bernardo Silva at Man City. Just want to talk about him again because we've seen and we've spoken about it in this show. Sterling is linked with a possible move to Chelsea. Mahrez, there's been some murmurs around him. I don't know why he'd let go of Mahrez. I think he's, like, if you take Haaland over, I think he's that best attacker. I genuinely believe. I'd love fucking Mahrez. I think he's a brilliant, brilliant player. Right, Foden is a fantastic player, but Mahrez is real. Something clutch about him. When something has to happen, Mahrez usually turns up and does something. But there's been links around that. And, you know, Bernardo Silva was linked with Barca a couple of years ago when City were maybe trying to get Messi. He'd be a fantastic move for Barcelona. Like, as much as people don't like him, he's a brilliant player, Ash.
Oh, yeah, I completely agree. He's one of those off the pitch, he's in tit, but on the pitch he's a good player, very good player. Always just put a bee in my bonnet whenever I watch him because he's just outrageously good, annoyingly outrageously good. Who has he been linked with this summer, just out of interest? Is it Barcelona again? Is it? I don't know if that was old links or is that current links or what, but it would suit Barcelona. It's a go for a Bernardo Silva. I think that's what they're crying out for. It's just that, it's a bit of attacking creativity in midfield. Again, it all comes down to whether they can afford it, isn't it? It's all well and good being linked to these players, but can they register them? And he would fit in a lot of teams, not just Barcelona. I'm surprised teams like Bayern Munich or, you know, the upper levels of teams like Dortmund's or.
I'd love maybe, to see him in a Liverpool team.
Now
listen. Yeah. All this, all we done this and he done that. Like he's. He's fucking shit. Yeah, but at the end of the day, could you imagine him in a Liverpool team? He'd run a bleeding muck in a Liverpool team.
Oh yeah, he would do really well in the Klopp. I just think because of his personality traits, I don't think Klopp have it. He wouldn't let him anywhere near the club, first and foremost. The disrespect he's shown over the years to the club and to the fans and to the players, it wouldn't even be an option. Yeah, I agree, he is a good player. He would suit us to a T, but it would never happen.
No, I know. But as a footballer, I'd love to see it. Is there any Ash, is there any chance maybe PSG come looking at that? Because with Barca having those issues over registering players and PSG wanting to rebuild, like, he is the sort of player that could just go into any sort of top team because he's so good on the ball, but he works so hard as well. Like, he fit, you know, any real top team.
Yeah, I agree. I'm surprised that hasn't actually cropped up yet. I'm not sure if City are willing to let him go for, because I've heard 60 million, I've heard 40 million. What's the actual figure that's being touted for him? Is it that high, or?
I think they'll let him go for whatever Barca can get for De Jong.
Okay.
I got a feeling it's that kind of triangle that would need to happen. I think Barcelona would need to offload De Jong because of the wages he's on, as well as recoup a fee. They could probably move for someone like Bernardo Silva, because he's not on chump change. You know, he's on good money at City. But he made noises last year, didn't he, that he wanted to go.
And, yeah, I've heard that as well. It seems to be like that for the last couple of seasons, isn't it?
Yeah, a couple of people said he was make way. Ashley says ever since he was a make way for Messi, he wanted to leave. He's wanted to go back. He wanted to go to Spain last summer and see. Convinced him. He hates Manchester. Wants to get out of it. So there's a lot there for Bernardo Silva to make an argument that he doesn't want to be there.
It makes sense with City looking at Calvin Phillips that they want to strengthen that area of the pitch. Losing Fernandinho and possibly losing someone like Bernardo Silva, because he's evolved his game so much since he first came to the Premier League. You know, he was just a winger. He was a lightweight, right winger who could attack. Now he's a proper eight. You know, he's a menace. And if he's in your team, you love him. If he's against you, you absolutely hate the shithouse.
Okay.
Well, saying that with PSG, though, with the Mbappe deal, they're getting scrutinized, and looks like it was at La Liga's put an investigation forward for him to be looked at. I've not seen any other names linked to PSG. So are they keeping a low profile because of what's happened with Mbappe, or is it a case that they're not looking for reinforcements, or are they doing their business? It just seems like I said, the people like Bernardo Silva, who's going to be available, why aren't they getting their names linked to players like Silva and Lewandowski or stuff like that?
There was someone on Lewandowski being linked with PSG, I think, yesterday or today. And, you know, it's at the end of the day, it's the 24th of June, and literally you can log on to any website in the world or any kind of forum in the world, call yourself whatever, and just come out there and say, oh, Lewandowski, he's going to Colchester, and people will go, what? And they'll get loads of traction. That's just how it works at the minute. You know, and that's why I thought it was mad the amount of names I've seen going around today, because it was like, hold on, all these can't be happening. You know, the sort of way, they just can't. And when you actually look into it a bit more, you're like, hold on, there's 11 players linked to Arsenal here. You know what I mean? There's
Dean Regan is right there. Renato Sanchez is linked to a couple of moves, one to Milan and the other one to PSG.
Is he still in France?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I heard the Milan one was quite close, I heard.
I think when Galtier is announced and Pochettino is out the door, then, you know, Pochettino will become the next best manager waiting for a job. You know, so there'll be a lot of managers looking over their shoulder.
Yeah.
And PSG will start making moves. Mm. Ins and outs. The likes of Gini, the likes of Sergio Ramos, Keylor Navas is another one who'll be looking for a new club.
Yeah. It's great to have this chat every week, though, isn't it? With all the different names that pop up and all the different clubs, and it keeps you going. And I kind of like the transfer window. I think the madness of it is I kind of get on with it. I like it. And
it's nice when we've got our business done. You know, our business is done.
Don't say that too loud, because you get awful abuse if you say our business is done. But it's not even that. It's I always go through the transfer window and I kind of go, we might do one more. You know, and it's kind of in the back of your head. And right now I'm kind of comfortable with where Liverpool are. I think there might be one more move in them. I'd like to see one more move, a particular move, in a certain area of the pitch. But I understand why that hasn't happened. As I said last night, numbers in your squad is probably why the whole no midfielder thing will come about. But I'll finish it off. I'll finish the show off with this. Kev, I'll come to you first. Now, I said last night that if you ask me, should Liverpool sign a midfielder in the summer, I would say yes. Right? My reason behind it is that when I've looked at Oxlade-Chamberlain off the back end of last season, wasn't getting a look in. Didn't seem to be fancied whatsoever. A year left on his deal, I think. If you could find a way to move him on for a half-decent fee, I think we should bring in a midfielder, because the numbers that sit there at the moment, I think, are right. You know, now,
yeah,
that's putting aside, oh, they'll change, and they'll change formations and things. I just think, for what we have there, I think it's about right. Seven is about right for me, right? And if you could do that, that's fine. If he doesn't want to go and wants to run out his contract, you're kind of hamstrung a little bit. Because at the end of the day, you're still sitting paying some fella 6-7 million quid a year, right, to do nothing and run out his contract. If that changed, I would like to bring one in. I think it would, A, consolidate the seven, and it would also up the quality and the availability, and I think the trust in that player, because I think Klopp's maybe lost a little bit of trust in him. Now, there is people out there that will immediately say to me, oh, well, you know, you're saying that and FSG and this and FSG are that. Look, you've seven players. Do you know what I mean? You can't go in for eight. You can't go in with eight midfielders for three positions, right? You can't. And then if you change your system, you can't go in with eight for two. Do you know what I mean? Now, I understand you could do Elliot, or you could do Jones, or even Keita in a 10. But then you're looking at four down the pitch, where Firmino might want to play that 10. Carvalho might want to play that 10. Luis Diaz, Jota, they all might want to play that 10. So for me, I would like to see it happen, but I understand if it doesn't, because you have a player who I think is the biggest nomination to go, that might just want to run down a contract. Where do you sit in the midfield?
I think if Ox wants to make a move, Liverpool will facilitate it. Mm. I don't think they'll ask the earth, moon and stars. I think hopefully they learned a lesson from Origi last season, mm-hmm. that you don't want to price yourself out of getting a move done just for the sake of asking too much. If he decides to dig his heels and say, no, I want to see my contract done, like you were saying last night, and you were dead right, a lot more players are going to start doing this. So, look, I've signed a 4 or 5 year contract. I will see out my contract and take my chances. Then maybe you could look at a loan move for a Curtis Jones to give him a year's experience, like Conor Gallagher had for Crystal Palace. If Ox is going to stay in the squad, and you still add a midfielder, because Keith was saying, and he's dead right again, next summer you potentially have to replace Salah. You might have to replace Bobby unless he goes on a 12-month rolling contract. And you still have to add a midfielder anyway, because Milner is going to be 47. You know, so I think it's a no-brainer. We have to get a midfielder in this summer. An absolute no-brainer. But we knew the moves that were going with the moves that were going out. We knew Tacky was going to be going. We know that Nico is going to be going. And we know that offers will be listened to for Nat Phillips. So once those ones happen, then I think it's going to be one in, one out from there on out for the rest of the window. And I wouldn't be surprised to see at least one, maybe two.
Okay.
But definitely one. Have to get one.
Ma, you know, as me and Kev have kind of pointed towards, maybe one out, maybe one in. I think that's the likeliest scenario in midfield. And I don't think it's anything to do with what Klopp wants, or what the owners want, or what the owners are willing to do, or I think it's just numbers. And I think it is, like, you know, Klopp likes a harmonious squad. I don't think he likes anyone sitting around moping, and could you end up with a player that's moping in Oxlade-Chamberlain? Where do you see it? Because I think it's quite doable to forget the money. Like, you could sell Ox for 10 and sign a midfielder for 60. Forget the money. But does it make the most sense to bring one more in and look for one to leave?
I don't think so. I think I said it a couple of times now. Like, I think I've got faith, and I think the club has faith in those young kids coming through. I think between Jones, Elliott, and Carvalho, I think one, if not two of them, are going to have surprising breakout seasons where everybody's going to be, I think it's going to be Harvey Elliott, really. Somebody in the chat there said, would you trust him in a big game, a big game like a Premier League game against Chelsea? Yes, Klopp is ready. He's shown that he's ready to trust these players. So I don't think it is. I mean, the Ox question is a strange one. Just it comes down to what he wants to do. Does he think he can get as good a contract now? Like, if he pushes for a move right now, does he think he's going to get as good a contract and as good a club to play for as if he runs his contract down at Liverpool and he's sixth, seventh choice midfielder? You know, is he going to get enough game times that even though he's a free agent, has his stock fallen so much that teams are going to be willing to offer him less, or the quality of teams are going to be less? That's my only question on it. But I think whether he goes or whether he stays, I think we're fine for numbers in the midfield. Like Kevin Ball had said there, that the Telegram chat about the midfield is interesting, and it is very much that. And one thing that nobody really seems to be mentioning, they're talking about how our midfield gets a year older. Well, everybody's midfield's gotten a year older. Kevin De Bruyne is another year older. Kevin De Bruyne has injury issues. It's not just Jordan Henderson and Thiago that have injury issues. Everybody's aging at the exact same rate, and other teams also have problems. So I don't think our midfield needs anything for it, really. Now, if something were to happen, if Nicolò Barella comes out of left field, well, I'll be happy as can be, but I'm good to stand pat.
Yeah, the only thing with Oxlade-Chamberlain for me is that, you know, I think this season's shown a lot. Or the season just gone. I think when he was given a chance, I don't think he produced. You know, I don't think his attitude looked the best. And the big telling sign for me is when we play Southampton away and he doesn't get a sniff. And we're literally rotating everyone, you know, as much as we possibly can. And if I'm Oxlade-Chamberlain, I'm looking at that and I'm saying to myself, I'm not getting back in here. You know, this is past me by now. I'm not getting back in here. And Liverpool would have to, and I would presume they would have contingency in place. If Oxlade-Chamberlain A came to them and went, listen, I need to go and forward myself somewhere else, or B, somebody just comes in with a bid out of nowhere and goes, look, we want Oxlade-Chamberlain, Liverpool would have to have a contingency. I think it's very interesting. I think I'd nearly go as far as to say that if you should actively look to make this happen. And I know that sounds terrible on a player, but I would actively go and make a looking. Mo says, didn't beat Chelsea, City and Spurs last season. Midfield this summer is non-negotiable. I'm kind of amused when people point every single point we dropped last season to just solely the midfield. Like, it's now, I'm not saying we couldn't improve midfield. Could we improve defensively in those games? Yeah. And could we have improved attacking-wise in a lot of them games? Absolutely. But
the home game against City, we had Milner playing against Foden. I'd honestly, going into this season, I would feel better with Calvin Ramsey. If he's had a few games in, you know, maybe if it's not the first fixture, maybe if it's the second fixture in the second half of the season and Calvin Ramsey's had 15 appearances sort of thing, you know, 10 starts for the team, and Trent's unavailable for that City game, I'd rather have him in there instead of Milner, because Milner just got torched for speed, and you'd like to think that this young kid's got, you know, a little bit more turn of pace on him than Milner does.
Well, G10 says, and I'm not just kicking Ox, Katie should be upgraded too. Well, look, I'm not going to every player in the squad, but what I'm saying is, realistically, you're probably looking at, like Kev said, one out, one in. Then all of a sudden you're looking at 5-6 players coming in the summer. Well, I don't think it's needed. You know, I agree on the Salah thing next summer. I possibly agree, you know, Milner next summer. But I think you probably have Henderson's going to step into that kind of role for me, in my opinion, next summer. You know, there's probably two or three you would need to do next summer. But two or three is okay. We've done two or three this summer. It's I just like people's views on it. Ash, what's your take on it?
I reckon the club's playing 4D chess, personally. I reckon they're just going about their business saying, yeah, we're done. You know,
but they're not actively going to tell you they're looking for.
No, that's what I mean. I think like they're just going to turn around and go, right, we're done. You know, that's it. We're not looking for another midfielder, because otherwise prices get inflated. They're not stupid. I think it's not a secret that we're actively looking for a midfielder, whether it's this season or next season. I don't think it's much of a secret who that person is, neither. I think we all can name who it is. I think half the press couldn't name who it is. It's going to be Jude Bellingham. And a lot of people are turning around saying we should get it done this summer. I would love for us to get it done this summer. I don't see why not. But I do think it all depends on Oxlade Chamberlain first and foremost. As you can see, he's surplus to requirements, can't get into the squad. When he is, he doesn't put much of a shift in. But going back to what people were saying that the midfield was to blame. Well, Alisson made a blunder against Spurs, which cost us 2 points, and he was our player of the season. Is that, and all of a sudden, apparently that's the midfield's fault, is it? But no one seems to recognise that. But I understand there's going to be surgery, and like you lot have all pointed out, everyone's getting 1 year older. Milner's going to be probably going. Henderson to fill that role. I think midfield will be the key areas next season. But I would love to get Bellingham this summer, without a doubt. But it all depends on what happens with Oxlade-Chamberlain. Reports are saying that he's going to stay. Liverpool are willing to keep him. But again, I reckon it's just the club playing 4D chess.
Yeah, I'd love Bellingham. I think if you had a price that you could get him at, I just think it's more of a case of Dortmund are willing to say, look, we could get 100 for him now, but we get 80 next summer, we're willing to go one more year with him and take that 20 million quid hit, you know, the sort of way. It'll be interesting, but I kind of think Liverpool don't do anything if a midfielder doesn't live. And part of me would go, yeah, 7 there. Fair enough. But I understand, like, wanting to improve, but I don't run my opinion off, oh, we lost the league because of midfield, or look, pick all these games and look what happened. You know, I'm kind of going, no, we put up 92 points. There's various issues around games that we drop points. Centre halves being bullied at Brentford for being one. You know, and the way I kind of look at it is, I go, can we improve it? Yes. What do we need to happen? We probably need him to live. But the fact he's on, if he had 2 years left on his deal, I think it would be way easier, because he's not going to sit for two. You know, he'd probably go, I'm not sitting here for two. Fuck it. There's a move there. I can take it. I can get decent money, and I can, you know, Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain probably has ambitions to get back in the England squad and stuff like that. So, look, we'll have to wait and see. We're going to do this every week. And on top of that, if Liverpool do sign anybody or anything big happens, we'll come back during the week and do a second show on it. But it's once a week as it stands. David Lynch hinting tonight the club feel we won't be able to match the wages others will offer Bellingham. No, we won't. But that's not news. That's not news. Like Liverpool will go in and offer 200 grand a week to Jude Bellingham, right? He can be guaranteed PSG, Man City, Newcastle, Manchester United. Them four would easily double that. No problem. No, maybe not Man United. They probably won't go that high. But PSG, City and Newcastle most certainly would. You know, the sort of way. That's not news that we won't match. We don't go out to match the wages of others. We just don't. Do you know what I mean? We commit a lot of money to wages. We commit a lot of money to bonuses. But it's not news that Liverpool won't match Man City or PSG in wages for Jude Bellingham. It's just not news. Matt, anything else before we go?
No, it's fun coming on here and sharing my complete and utter lack of knowledge with the entire world. So, another fun show.
Same. I'm the same. Ash, anything else before we go?
I don't know if it's got mentioned or might have missed it, but Conor Bradley has left the club. He's gone to Bolton on loan for the season.
Bolton
on loan. I reckon that'd be good for him.
Yeah.
As development going. I think that's probably got something to do with Jay Spearing. I reckon with that links with Bolton as well, and that might have been a bit of an influence of which club, but I wish the lad good luck. I think he showed glimpses that he's going to be a pretty decent player. Whether he makes a cut, who knows? Anything can happen in it with Trent at right back, and now Ramsey as well. So, but other than that, no, thanks for having me on, Gav. Pleasure as always. 72 more days, as Kev said earlier. I'm sure there's going to be more fumes on Twitter, so can't wait to
feel
look
like, it'll
to
feel
that,
like 270 days, won't it? Kev, anything else before we go?
It's going to be a crazy week this week. This week and next week, I think, are going to be mental. You're going to see a load of moves happening all over the show. I think it'll take one phone call. You'll see one phone call could change everything. And we'll just see what happens. Yeah. It's going to be a crazy window. Yeah. It really is.
It really is. And the closer it gets to the final day of it, you will have clubs of every, or fans of every club, and include Liverpool and everyone else around, going, possibly we didn't do enough, because that's literally how football fans work. And then come the early August, we'd be all flying. Well, early August we'd be flying, and then the window doesn't close till the 34th, doesn't it? So you end up with like 3 weeks ago, we didn't do a fuck enough. Like, come on, sign someone, and then nothing really happens, and then you just get on with the season. It's amazing how quick the transfer window is forgotten about, isn't it? Once it's over, it's like, ah, fuck it. You know, come on, let's play football. Like,
give it a week once it closes, and they'll start talking about the January window.
Yeah, the January window is the one. Yeah. Red Steve says, what's tomorrow's draft, Gav? Pick 11 players you don't like. I'm back in Kev. the draft tomorrow, I don't know who's on it, and I don't know what the draft is about. But between now and probably 6 o'clock tomorrow even, I'll have the people in place and I will have the draft in place. They won't know the rules. They'll turn up and then it'll all be dropped on them and they'll give out for an hour to an hour and a half and then we'll all go home. That's how it usually works. That has been NTK, No Transfer Knowledge from the LFC Day Trippers. Failicon is our charity partner. It is a brilliant charity. Check out the link in the description to read all about them. Check the second link in the description to donate. Genuinely, we're waiting on donations to come in where we go over 8 grand. So we're down to our last 2,000. Come on. You know what I mean? 2 grand between us all. Come on. Do you know what I mean? We can do it. Get them there as quick as we possibly can. And as I said, the links are all in the description for you to help out, share, wherever it might be. There was one other thing I wanted to mention. We did do a tweet today about a young kid called Faye. Faye is 7 years of age. Needs treatment. It's a disease I can't describe. I can't even, pronounce. So, but she's 7 years of age. She needs €100,000, to get the treatment she needs. It's absolutely flying today. It was launched about 7 hours ago and I think they nearly got 20 grand. So if you can go on to her Twitter, it's on there. You can go on, read about it. It explains everything on the GoFundMe page. And if you want to donate, you can. If not, share it as well. And look, If we get the 10 grand with Failicon and Faye still needs help, we'll take Faye on as our next mission, as they would say. But at the moment, it's absolutely flying. And I hope we don't have to take it on. I hope by the time we get the Failicon's 10 grand, that girl has the 100,000. And the only reason they need the 100,000 is because they can't get the medical help in Ireland, which is mental in nowadays. We'll have to probably travel to the States. But that's been it. Sorry for going on about the charity stuff again. Well, I'm not really, but no. 2 grand left. Let's go. That's it. Talk to you in a bit. Over and out. Sports Social Podcast Network.